As business owners, entrepreneurs, family men, it's difficult for
$2
us to
find
the time to put
like
together projects like these. Even though it's something we really want to do, unfortunately, taking care of the things we have to take care of comes first. However, because of viewer support for people like you, we're able to continue doing this. Please consider joining our Patreon and supporting
the
Burn and Return
podcast. Eric, the
lawnmower
said an acid burn is nasty too. That work was literally rubbing his skin off. That is...
You.
That's probably some high concentration of hydrochloric and sulfuric and nitric. If you're rubbing your skin off, my God.
You're listening to Burn and Return.
Probably not even hydrochloric. That's probably sulfuric and nitric.
Podcast covering news from the agricultural and turf grass industries.
Likely.
Boom. Boom. Bum bum. How's everybody doing? Welcome to this week's episode of Burn and Return. My name is Matt. Sometimes I go by the Grass Factor Martin. Inside me, I have Ray Ito and Ryan DeMay. Gentlemen, how the hell are y'all doing?
Well, prior to the show, in the pre-show, we always have some of the most frank and honest discussions that we'll have all week, every year. And tonight, we learned the new way that Saudi Arabia and OPEC is going to punish child molesters. So there's that, you know, pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not going to say how they are, but if you do want to learn how, you can always check out the scene behind the scenes at patreon.com/burnerreturn. If you remember there, then you would know exactly what those plans are. I hear for the sake of democracy, they're actually going to vote on it here coming up shortly. Because you know, it's 2024 and we're in a constant state of trying to figure out how we're going to save democracy. Ray, how is your coffee? I'm not going to lie. It looks delicious.
Mm. Oh, that is a cup of very strong French roast.
Jeez.
Black.
Wow.
Black coffee. No sugar. I mean, the thing is that I've literally been doing this for decades now.
He's an animal. An absolute animal.
He is an animal. I'm not going to lie. These are what I do. And this is actually from earlier today. And the reason why I'm on Rains right now is the only reason is that they have these at Sam's. You can get 24 of them for $31. And that is the best deal going for a 300 milligrams of caffeine, CoQ10. B6, B3, B12, and probably a high degree of cancer. he drank an Ultra Sunrise about half an hour ago. But those are 160. These are 300s. You drink two of these, and you can see in 3D sometimes. Especially if you wait till like after 12, and then you drink two of them. Especially if you kind of suck them down back to back. I mean, it's like lasers are coming out of your eyes. It's one of those where you find yourself stalking your old lady in your own home. And she's like, why are you breathing down my neck? I'm like, I don't know. I have lasers coming out of my eyeballs right now. I see time in 3D. I'm sorry about that. It's
strange. Oh, man.
What am I talking about? Anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in. By the way, you can check us out on all of our other shows on all your favorite podcast apps, Spotify, whatever people listen to. We're probably out there, not just the boob tube. So, you know, if you need to be hands-free and you're not a YouTube Red subscriber, check that out. Otherwise, we'll go ahead and kick off this week's show. Let's check out what's going on in this week's headlines. Oh, during the intro to the headlines, one of the things I'm going to say is that we do have an extended Joe Knows Turf segment today. So don't go anywhere. This is Justin. I stomped all over that right into it. Did you hear that? Man, that was good radio right there.
Yeah.
boy, we are getting more and more of these. I'm not going to lie. It's a little concerning to me. Liquid nitrogen fertilizer spill kills nearly 750,000 fish in Iowa River, officials say. Hundreds of thousands of fish. Oh, wait. We did. We covered this originally, right? And I thought this is a new one. I was like, wow, three back to back to back. That's not good. This is the second one. However, they're starting to get in the body counts. Okay. and this is a scary number. The picture there at the top of this article is scary in and of itself. That is not good. If you are rolling, imagine you have a lakefront property or riverfront property, and you go out and you're going to enjoy your Ray's French roast, and you sit up on your deck and you see this outside, honey.
I think you're going to smell it before you see it. I've been around.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Matt, you're going to smell this, because if there's something that I never, ever want to smell again, it is decomposing fish in any form. I don't, okay? I mean, I don't. And you know what?
Honey,
this
like
right
the
there
we are
is
not
going to be tons of decomposing fish, okay? I mean, that is just, oh, my God.
It's
going to
smell like a bar stool in the French Quarter during Mardi Gras. That's the best thing. Combination of, well, you got to pull the beads out, you know? That's
don't do it, no matter what they tell you. Hundreds of thousands of fish were killed. It likes the smell. Were killed earlier this month in a nearly 50-mile stretch of East Nishnabotna River to the Missouri border due to a fertilizer spill in Iowa. NEW Cooperative in Red Oak reported to Iowa Department of Natural Resources that a spill occurred on their Montgomery County premises. 1,500 tons, equal to about 265,000 gallons of liquid nitrogen, 32% solution, that is UAN 32, was released into a drainage ditch, which subsequently entered the East Nishnabotna River. The spill happened due to an above-ground storage tank valve that was mistakenly left open over the weekend. Staff said the fish kill affected the entire 50 miles of the East Nishnatoba and Nishnabotna and Nishnabotna rivers downstream of the spill, and extended to Missouri section of the river before concluding near the junction with the Missouri River. As of Thursday, it was reported that a total of 750,000 fish had been killed, with the most affected species being minnows, shiners, dace, and chubs at roughly 708,000. Ongoing investigations are being conducted to determine the impact of the fertilizer release on other aquatic life. According to the Iowa state codes, a permit is required to discharge pollutants into a river. The DNR is collaborating with its legal department to determine the next course of action regarding enforcement and restitution for the loss of aquatic life. I would not want to be on the receiving end of this fine. I would say it's going to be not a slap on the wrist. And man, that is the idea, the scale of that many fish being dead is hard to wrap my mind around. And then, of course, the other aquatic life too. I'm curious how turtles are going to shake out. I don't know. It is a frightening number.
Just on the fish alone. I mean, it's a massive fuck up. But you know, the thing you can say here for sure, the new cooperative is this year's Babe Winkleman. Hell of an angling job there. would you have as your lure out there? Ah, UAN.
Yike. I mean, that's reminding me of how
they're popping on UAN today.
Yeah, fishing.
750,000 of them.
South Pacific. I mean, what is the favorite lure, Matt? Half stick of dynamite.
It is a good one. I was going to say, DeMay, you know, where I come from, if you did come outside and you saw 750,000 down dead fish, you call all your buddies and you announce the biggest cookout that you could ever imagine. There is going to be fried fish for months on that one.
That's funny.
Hi, Jimbo, tell boy, get on down. We're going to have an electric good fresh fry. Something like that. Houston lawn worker goes after robbery suspect with weed trimmer.
Oh, we got to watch the video.
This is so good. Yeah, let's watch this.
Oh, yeah. This is awesome, Matt.
Yeah, he's just having a good time. What you can't see is what's happening up the road here. He is making a mad dash, and then a car comes by. So someone was stealing from his landscape truck. And they get out of the car, and I don't know if they taunt him or whatever, but here he picks up a weed whacker, okay? He goes after the car, and then there's one of the guys that got left behind, and then he starts hitting him with the weed eater. Now, another neighbor comes out here, and does he have a pistol drawn on him and says, stay on the floor, stay on the floor? No. I don't know. He was pointing at him, and he was saying, stay on the floor. Now it's getting out of hand. There's people showing up everywhere. There's cars showing up out of everywhere. And he's still, I love it. They just show him again going after him with the weed eater. I would probably take my
chances.
Go back to the mugshot with his head bleeding because
yeah, he took that 095 right to the fucking forehead. You know that.
And yeah, you know what? My only thought on this is that he's lucky that the guy that he stole from was only using string.
Didn't have the rotary scissors.
No,
that would have been fun.
If it were me, what does a 90 tooth carbide saw sound like to you guys?
I was gonna say Ray would have a saw on the end of one of his weed eaters and take off the guy's extremities. Sir, you're bleeding and you're getting it all over my equipment. Will you please stop it? Can you give me a tourniquet or something? No.
Yard barber would have asked the guy if he wanted him to square it around it.
Remember what they do in Dubai and UAE to thieves? Remember what they do?
I believe they cut their hands off.
Yup. I mean, you lose your hand if you steal. Same is true in Saudi Arabia, by the way. You steal in Saudi, you're going to be missing a hand.
Hey, all in a day's work. Anyway, kudos to this guy. I wish does it name the guy who actually went after him or the name of his company, because this guy needs way more business. That is for sure. Let's see here. No, he doesn't list the name of the business. I will say this though. Good also on the news for actually naming the criminals. There are certain, the reason why I say this is that I have an international house. My wife's from Japan. And one of the things that I've noticed is that men who are convicted of sex crimes, the news will hide the identity of those who committed the sex crime. But whoever reports them for the sex crime, they will release their identity. It's backwards, right? They will not protect the identity of those who come forward, only the criminals. And so every time I see this and it does name the suspects and it puts them on display, it does give me a nice sense of relief to know that we still are not prioritizing the criminal in this country. So to hell with these people. And real quick, like we were talking about before we started the show, for real, we have some interesting conversations in the pre-show, we have some interesting conversations in the post-show, and we have a running interesting conversation in the off show. So if you're of means, check it out. Patreon.com/burner return. It's cheap. I swear it's cheap. We are not raising prices, even though inflation is here. Shit, I don't know. We might at some point this year, actually, as a matter of fact. Now you got me thinking about it. I may do it. And this is not for the sake of greedflation. This is so we can actually do bigger things would ultimately be our goal from it. None of this money we put in our pockets. We actually dump this all back into the show. We do it for events, all kinds of fun stuff that we do throughout the year. So anyway, if you want to check it out, look, $4, $10, $20 option. And there's a couple things here that I can promise is that you are going to learn absolutely as much as you're capable of learning at the pace you're capable of learning it up. And you'll have the opportunity to do better and be better in just about every facet of your life. Even if you have your own individual skill, bring it to the table. I guarantee there is someone there who will benefit from it, thank you, and reward you for it. So check it out, patreon.com/burner return. You can get kind of the real deal inside scoop of what goes on behind the scenes here. And if you're growing a lawn care business, even better for you. There's no cheaper investment you could take to grow your lawn care business than getting in behind the scenes. So check it out. Now we're going to move on to our favorite segment of the show known as Joe Knows Turf.
Joe Knows Turf. Hi, I'm Joe. I'm gonna give you a bunch of accurate turf facts today. Because
Joe Knows Turf.
I sure hope Joe is doing good. He's been a while since, he's gone through those seven stages and, God willing, he still finds his way in the comments. I know he's watching. Joe, if you're out there, I don't think Matt still likes you, but that's okay.
Hi, Joe.
Okay. All right. So because we've been off for several weeks for a variety of reasons and things like that, we are going to do a double feature here tonight, gentlemen. And boy, I think this is going to be, Matt, I'll just preview this. This is going to be one where we turn up the anxiety slowly. It's not going to hit right all at once. I'm not going for the early climax. I'd like this to be a long, slow, drawn out foreplay with the climax at the end. Just, you know, your run of the mill Joe Knows Turf sesh. Okay.
My heart rate is already beginning to increase. So
that's good. All right. Well, without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to our first Joe Knows Turf contestant tonight. None other than Silver Symbol.
Right now, spring is on us. It is the exact time that you want to do four simple things to your lawn that will benefit you the entire season. I've been doing these four steps myself for years. I've made many videos about them, but I've never put them in just one video showing you exactly why my lawn is already green and looking fantastic when we're just 2 weeks into the season. Step one, you want to begin by mowing your lawn to just 1 inch. Now you can go a little bit higher, maybe 1.5 inches if your mower's not able to cut down to 1 inch. Now I know what you're thinking, 1 inch, you've got to be out of your mind. But keep in mind, mowing at 1 inch now is not the same as what you're going to mow your lawn at.
Can we just take a second to marvel that multi-story sunroom he has back there? Good God almighty, sir.
Don't forget the side by side.
Very well to do, and kudos to you for having accomplished that. But if you zoom in behind his right shoulder in front of the side by side, what is that patch of dead grass you have there? You fucked it up, grass man. You fucked
it up. You'll see it in a minute. Okay. Keep going.
The entire season. This low is going to accomplish several things. First, it'll do a mechanical cleanup. Things like pine cones, sticks, those have a really good chance to end up in your mower and into the bagger. Next, and probably the most important.
Okay. Let's talk about
more hair than I do.
It's a nice coif of hair. The first thing here is mowing your lawn in the early spring to 1 inch. I'm not so sure about that. I mean, I understand that it'll grow back, this, that, and the other thing, but the reason stated here, and he'll give another one at the end, but Ray, you know, let's assume that you've performed all your typical maintenance on your lawnmower, you've sharpened your blade, you put a new blade on, this, that, the other thing, you got it running tip top, and now we're going to go out and mow 1 inch to beat the heavens out of it and suck up and chop up pine cones and sticks and shit. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm already horrified at the thought of basically putting the lawn through a torture session at a time when it has to get ready for summer. I'm thinking about that more than anything else, because what I believe about spring is that should be the time where we treat the grass nicely, because even up in his parts, he's going to hit a time of the year when it's 90 degrees in the daytime and there's no more rain. And if you've been kicking the lawn around in April and May, you might well come to regret that choice, because I've learned something about cool season grass, in that keeping cool season grass alive is all about maintaining carbohydrate reserves.
That's correct, sir. That's correct.
Yeah.
So when we do this, right, we remove leaf tissue, which is photosynthetic area. So when we do that, anytime that we pull back on shoot growth, scalp off,
yeah,
we're expensing that by root growth, right? Because now all that extra energy has to go to shoot growth to recover the plant. And I don't care if you're coming back up to a certain height of 2 inches, whatever. Not the best idea. And especially if you're going to go out there and chop up pine cones, do all that stuff, it's not a great idea. Let's see what homeboy, by the way, nice coif of hair for sure, but it's the most we've ever seen this guy on camera. He must have, the witness relocation program must have ran out. He's not just like a shadowy figure with his just showing his ass and his ankles. Walking the mower.
There must be some sort of change in the algorithm that forced him to do this, because let me make this clear. There is no greater wizard of the algorithm than Silver Symbol. This guy has got the algorithm figured out on a whole nother level. What does he have? 900,000 subscribers? Unreal the way this guy had. If you, one of the things we did notice in prior videos when we used to go through this in the primarily in the after show was that a lot of his B-roll was all recycled. Even a lot of his voiceovers was all recycled and clipped from different videos. And so he would have like six different videos with no original content. It was just repurposed in different order, but the exact same clips, exact same sound overs. And it, maybe the algorithm is beginning to pick up on repeat or whatever, you know, because the same pitch and all that. And now he's forced to do talkie-talkie in front of the camera or something. I don't know. It's interesting, though. But I know it is algorithm related. He's smart. He's a smart guy, except when it comes to agronomy.
All right, let's play it.
Important reason you're doing this is to scalp the top of the grass, things that are dead, any yellowed grass. You want to get as much as you possibly can off of the lawn. The secret to why this makes such a difference is that you're going to cut both the good grass and the dead grass, but the benefit is your good grass will regrow and continue growing throughout the entire season. But those dead grass blades that were going to do nothing except just hang around will be cut off and be completely removed from your lawn. Your next step is one that I've shown you many times on my channel. I want you to dethatch your lawn in the spring. Now this is the perfect time of year, especially right after you just mowed your lawn down. That short grass height is going to allow your dethatcher to work a lot easier. The simple machine that's fairly inexpensive uses a motor to spin these rake tines around repeatedly. This is like raking your lawn on steroids.
He did qualify that it's a motor and it's not a bunch of miniature horses. So PETA, back the fuck off.
Except you don't have to do all the work. Here I'll show you just a couple of passes on my lawn with this machine so you can see exactly how well it works. I am a big fan of this corded machine because it is simple and inexpensive. They make some
Okay.
Oh my God.
I'm not completely against this, but I question the need to do it. And the recommendation to do it.
That is what I was going to ask, Demay, is that there's going to be people that are going to be like, I detach every spring and it turns out perfect. The reality is that, okay, what happens if you don't dethatch in spring and it turns out perfect? Did anything change except saving time and money?
Now he says he's going to
post. Time and money.
Go ahead.
Save time and money and... You know what my knock against dethatching is? It does more than take out the dead grass. This is Sheila with the cat o' nine tails on another level to the grass. Okay? This is a brutal procedure because you're taking metal tines and whipping them through the grass, and you're not only tearing out the dead, but you're also tearing up the live. Now, what does the grass have to do once you've torn it up like this? It now has to regrow. Yeah, now it has to regrow.
To that point, you know, Matt, you asked before when he was shooting kind of his summary, and he had over his right shoulder, left as we're looking at it, you saw this patch that he just did. That was the area in the house that he was. I will bet you a significant amount of money that the entire lawn does not get done like this, nor does it get picked up. And I'll show you why here in a second. Go ahead and play this video.
Battery versions, but they have less power. And where this is a machine you're just going to use one time a year, I would just save the money and put the thing away when you're done. You don't have to worry about charging any type of battery. Now, I know this dethatching does seem like a pain in the butt and it will take you some time, but if you spend just a little bit of time now in the early spring, this will benefit you huge throughout the season. And after just a single dethatching of my lawn, look at how much debris came out. Now, some people might even do it a second time
you
if you've
only
got a smaller
pulled that
lawn,
much
but
out
one
of your
time
entire
is really
lawn.
Enough.
Pause. Now, a couple things on this. One,
that's
to do
like
a lawn his size,
square feet.
Yeah, to do a lawn his size, it would take literally days and days to not only actually walk it with a little walk behind chintzy 18-inch battery powered unit, right? But the volume of material that you would create as a part of that, right, would be something on the order of what's in this pile here, which might be maybe a cubic yard, maybe. It would be probably closer to
probably not even a cubic yard there.
probably 20 to 30 cubic yards easy. And I can tell you that just pulling off, you know, doing burta cutting and stuff like that on big acreage, where he would turn out. The other thing too that's interesting is Timothy Bluegrass, if you're of Ron Henry ilk, has mentioned that this is recycled B-roll from another project or another video that he did before. This isn't actually, because look how yellow the stuff is. This has been sitting there for a while. This
it's dried
also up. Probably it probably smells yes. like a bar stool yes. with Mardi Gras in the French Quarter.
Yes, that's funny.
Oh wow, yeah. That's
ouch.
Time's up, it's over.
It will be. That, actually, Jesse, I will counter that, and I will say that it's probably just what was stuck in his teeth after a cunnilingus session. But let's keep going here.
The other reason this saves you money is that putting down products like fertilizers and maybe other chemicals will not do nearly as good of a job if there's all kinds of junk in your grass. But the secret to why my lawn is already looking...
Okay, so he's saying there that if you remove all of the debris... Right, the spoils that would come from dethatching, that is what's going to prevent your fertilizers and or your pesticides from working.
DeMay, which, let me ask you a question. Does lawn debris affect the solubility of fertilizers?
No.
Then how in the fuck will removing it have any effect whatsoever on a granular fertilizer's efficacy?
It won't.
Okay.
And from a pesticide standpoint, the things that we worry about the most, right, are products that need to go into the soil, pre-emergence and insecticides. So, Ray, can you maybe break down just very quickly the difference between the debris that is on the top, right, and the organic matter that is at the thatch interface layer that's going to actually adsorb molecules of active ingredient and potentially slow it down, right? The difference okay. between these two substances, if you will.
Okay. The so-called debris on the top of the lawn is essentially undecomposed grass clippings and grass stems. But make note of that. Because it is undecomposed, it essentially has minimal to no ability to interact with control products that you want to apply. Like, for example, pre-emergent and grub control, for example, is not attracted to the dry, non-decomposed grass clippings. It is actually more attracted to the organic matter content in your soil or in your thatch to soil interface, because that is now decomposed organic matter. So there's a big difference in terms of how much each thing is attracted to various lawn chemicals. And the other thing is that if you are watering sufficiently, all of that pre-emergent or grub control will get down into the soil where it needs to be, regardless of how much loose debris you have on the surface. I hope I, you know, gave a good explanation as to why that's a fallacy.
totally accurate there. So, okay, now let's let him go about fertilizer. Let's hear about this.
And so good after just a couple of weeks of spring is because I fertilized it immediately after I was done dethatching. Now, there are many good fertilizers on the market, but last year the Andersons reached out to me and they had a brand new idea for a fertilizer that they wanted me to test out. But this fertilizer is unique because it's essentially three different products in one. You've got the nitrogen type fertilizer that you'll see in other products, but then you also have a combination of biosolids. This is something you've often seen in products like Milorganite and other organic fertilizers. Additionally, you've got a little bit of iron in there to give you a really good green up and make your lawn look awesome. And then finally, you've got those micronutrients. Now, you could certainly buy all these products separately, but most people really don't want to do that. They've got three versions of this that I think will...
EcoFusion in 1105 would buy... Guys, this is revo-fucking-lutionary. Do y'all see this? I've never heard of this. Man. This has not been a staple of every fucking distributor for the last 20 years. Not at all.
And right, not at all. And
is all on this
over under now, Matt. That this product is probably going to turn Silver Symbol's property into a Superfund site. Over under. And the reason why it's going to turn his property into a Superfund site is because what happens when the environmental department goes, you know, sampling and whatever, and they find high levels of PFAS?
Oh, I can't then wait. What? All right, look here. We have iron oxysulfate. No, forgive me. Sodium nitrate? We're using sodium nitrate as a primary end source?
Yay!
God, love it. Hey, everyone in Texas, in California, New Mexico, and Arizona, buy all that you can afford, second mortgage your house, and please start applying this to your property, and let's all fucking laugh at what ends up happening. By God, this is fantastic. Okay, second thing is, let's look at these micronutrient derivatives here. We have iron oxysulfate, copper oxysulfate, zinc oxysulfate, manganese oxysulfate, biosolids, and ferric oxide. Okay. Hey, Dr. Shaddix, forgive me, wasn't paying attention a whole lot. Did you happen to cover oxysulfates as micronutrients for, I don't know, and oxides, maybe like an entire month?
It's absurd.
Yeah. An entire month. Absurd. And one more thing. This product also has potassium chloride as its key source. Now, here's where I'm going to be fortunate in that I will likely never see this damn product.
It has potassium sulfate and potassium chloride. Let me explain why they're being funny about this, right? Notice it has 3% chlorine. And it only has 5% soluble potash, right? Yeah. So that means that the majority of the potassium in this product is actually potassium chloride. And that is because of the chlorine content.
Yeah, the high chlorine content. And you know what? I was just going to say is that
notice they don't list sulfur on the label either.
Yeah, because there's probably not enough sulfur in there. And one more thing is that I'm probably lucky that due to the biosolid content in this product, I will never see this garbage in the state of Hawaii. I won't see it here.
Notice it's less than 0.5% water insoluble nitrogen. No, Ray, what is the analysis of straight sodium nitrate?
I think sodium nitrate is, let me think. I think that one is like,
I don't know. And that's why I asked. I'm trying to look it up.
10 or 15% in. And sodium nitrate.
16%. Sodium nitrate is 16%. So if it's 11.5%. That means the majority of this is derived from sodium nitrate. There's very, very little biosolids in here.
Yeah, there's just enough as a filler. But then in the meantime, Matt, do you know where you typically see sodium nitrate as fertilizer?
In Chile?
No, China and Russia.
No,
that's where they do that. That's where they do that, and that's how they screw up their crop fields, is they fertilize with sodium nitrate, and the other one that I've seen them fertilize with, and I'm glad this hasn't become a thing, is, can you imagine fertilizing with ammonium chloride? They do that in China and Russia, by the way.
That's not one that I would ever do either.
Yeah, but then the sodium nitrate part is interesting
ammonia,
because
hydrochloric acid.
Let's go for it. But then I looked at that sodium nitrate and I thought, wow, is Anderson's getting desperate? I mean, are they really getting desperate? Because, you know, Matt, in another time, I only saw Anderson's products on golf courses. In another time, that's the only place I ever saw Anderson's stuff.
I don't know if it's, I think they're desperate. I think they are sitting on goods that they have no idea what to do with. And they're like, huh,
mm-hmm.
this inventory is past its prime. We have no usable market for it. Let's repurpose it in the homeowners. We'll contact Silver Symbol, Doc, and Ron Henry to get it out of our fucking warehouse so it's not occupying prime real estate. I honestly, God, believe that.
I think so, too, because could you imagine a golf super being asked to apply sodium nitrate to his greens? And what his answer would be?
I'm sure we have several listening right now. And if not, they will at the release of this. And yeah, we actually, let's do that. If you're a golf super or assistant super, reach out to us about your thoughts on applying sodium nitrate anywhere on your golf course.
Yeah, I'm dying to know because I already know my answer to applying sodium nitrate to turf grass, never mind potassium chloride, and my answer is always never. Nope.
Never. All right, let's let him play this. Let's go. You need this fourth tip. You need this fourth tip from him. You got to get it. It's badly crucial.
Fit most people's needs. The first one is called EcoFusion Natural. This is the most organically or ecologically conscious fertilizer they've got.
Pause.
Next is my favorite and the one I've been using.
There is absolutely nothing organic about it. There's nothing organic about Maumee, Ohio, or anywhere in that vicinity, wherever these biosolids get sourced from, of a guy eating cheese, drinking beer, eating a brat, and taking a shit. That's the premise of Milwaukeeite. And it gets put in a bag. There's nothing organic about that. It's poignant.
Oh, and may we talk about the ladies that do the same, and in the meantime, they're on Prozac and birth control pills.
Now there's a lot of dudes.
And they're...
Listen, there's a lot of guys on SSRIs and 93 octane fuel this week.
Is
not wrong. I mean, if you know, you know. Right? So
couldn't find a Sunoco to get the Super 94, damn it.
Gosh.
Yep. Pisses me off. Love that Sunoco.
Max stole all the hot sauce from the grocery aisle there, Dick. What I was gonna say, I believe sodium nitrate was one of the first one of the few nitrate nitrogen sources that is that you can get with an organic certification, if I recall correctly. And I think,
yes, it is.
I think that's what they're playing into there. But notice it does not have any OMRI certification or whatsoever. They're just going straight up EcoFusion. S my D.
All right, let's listen to this last step. Sorry.
On the majority of parts of my lawn called EcoFusion Plus. This version combines higher levels of nitrogen plus, along with iron for a quick green up, and they've still put biosolids.
So this one here doesn't have the sodium nitrate. It has urea, it's got methylene urea, so there's 5% slowly available. The biosolids and some other. It's got humic EG in it too. So basic premise there. All right, play it.
To give you more of an organic component, additionally combined with those micronutrients. And I think this is ideal for somebody that just wants to put down one bag. And you might be thinking, why don't I just wait? I'll do it later in the season. Well, you would be completely wrong. By doing it right now, there is another huge benefit that I didn't even mention, and that is weeds. By mowing super short, if you have any weed seeds that might still be growing on stalks, they will get sucked up into your mower, and you will immediately deal with them without any chemicals.
What?
Additionally, you don't want to be fertilizing those weeds. So by doing all of this work now in the early spring, your lawn will be ready and hopefully outcompete those weeds before they can take hold.
Dude,
I'm not getting any younger, and I need to do
smoking crack. You are legit smoking crack at this point. Dude. Look, Silver Symbol, you are smart enough to crack the YouTube algorithm. That doesn't mean you should start smoking crack. Get your shit together, dude. No way you buy what you're selling there. I can get it. I can totally get the mental gymnastics that you employ to sell a bag of EcoFusion. I get it. I'm not going to be mad at you for it. Anderson's approaches you. They got a deal for you. You feel good. You feel important. But to dream that your 1 inch or inch and a half height of cut is sucking up weed seeds and you're doing a de-weeding service to your property as a result of that and saving them from catching the remnants of fertilizer that you're applying, dude, hang it up. You're full of shit.
It's absurd.
You don't believe what you're saying.
And he's, he does believe it, and I'm going to see what happens when somebody does this, and instead of it doing well for them, instead they've depleted carbohydrate reserves in the spring. And by the way, Ryan, I also learned what happens to lawns that get excessive nitrogen in the spring.
What's that?
Their carbohydrates get depleted, and those lawns nosedive in the summer.
Yeah, it's a careful balance to walk in. If you fertilize in the fall, there's generally speaking no reason to fertilize in the spring until, in this guy's area, somewhere between, I'll say, maybe Mother's Day at the earliest and like first week of June.
Just a little bit. Just a little sprinkle. I mean, we're not talking about throwing it down, because my understanding of the cool season fertilizer calendar is your important time to fertilize is after summer, not in the spring.
So, with that being said, thanks, all right, May. That's what I'm here for. Now, that was number one. Now we're going to go to number two. And I want to play the video here first. Now, JP, I got to send this to you really quickly so we can watch the video and understand where this comes from. And we'll talk a bit about the science here, and then we'll talk a little bit about the business side that nobody wants to talk about. Lean into. So let's watch this first. This is from our former
crazy dark lawn.
Was in the Discord for a hot minute, and I don't know if he didn't like the info he got or whatever, but he had bounced. So the video is entitled Crazy Dark Lawn.
Crazy Dark Lawn.
The stuff's
how
like
to get
no
the
joke.
Wait, pause.
It's ridiculous.
I think he edited this video title because it says how to get the darkest grass, period. I think when I first saw this come out, it just said how to get the darkest, period. It's kind of gross. So let's go ahead and play this.
Ridiculous. You don't want to go against
me.
One thing that can really set you apart from your neighbors is a dark green lawn. Today, I'm going to show you how to get your grass crazy dark in less than 24 hours, and then show you the results at the end of the video. Now, most people think the only way you can get your grass super dark green is to use a ton of fertilizer, and that's just not true. Today, I'm going to introduce to you iron. Grass uses iron.
We're doing another iron video. Didn't we do one of these last year?
This is last year's video. We'll talk about that in a minute. So this is feature 600. Okay. A product that Ray and I are both very familiar with. I know Matt's used it quite extensively too. And listen, this isn't the only one on the block, right? Some people will talk about Main Event. Some people will talk about the product from the Lawn Supply Company, right? I'm blanking on it here. Help me out.
The SP,
yes,
Green or SP, and then,
which is going to a liquid, by the way.
Yeah, sexy. And here's where already I'm alarmed, because everybody talks about iron and nitrogen, but iron and nitrogen are not the only important elements for making grass green. They're not the only important things. I mean, there's more to it than just iron and nitrogen. Let's see if this guy gets it right.
Sodium nitrate.
Iron to create chlorophyll, which ultimately gives your grass that green color.
A technical diagram illustrates the action of iron working on growing plants.
When you use the right amount of iron, it's going to turn your grass super dark green and make your neighbors envious.
Hey, man, your lawn looks great. Did you get it so dark?
Oh, God. This is terrible.
Now, if you notice that your grass is super light green or yellow, it could be from a few different causes. Three of those causes could be lack of water, lack of nitrogen, or disease pressure. Now, if you can take out all of those, the last thing it could be is chlorosis, which is a lack of iron in your grass.
You'll know your plants have iron deficiency when you pull a leaf and you'll see that it's a light green with a dark green vein running through the middle of the leaf. This plant needs iron.
And the application I'm going to show you today is ultimately going to...
or just to lower the
pause.
pH.
Stop there, because it is not only iron that will cause that venal chlorosis. It's not only iron. Oh. Right? Oh. I mean, because let's see what else can cause venal chlorosis. Manganese will cause the same, you know, similar appearance. And here's another one for you guys. Sulfur. Sulfur will also cause chlorosis too.
Holy shit. So, is this guy just literally blowing smoke rings into our rectum?
Yep.
Oh.
Tastes like Marlboro. All right.
I was never a Marlboro man. I'll be honest about it.
Fix that.
Joe Camel?
When it comes to applying iron to your lawn, there's two different ways.
I did smoke Camel for a little bit.
Granular or liquid.
Mavericks. I love Mavericks.
Now, when it comes to granular iron, the negatives way outweigh the positive. The first negative is, if you put down granular, you have to wait for that granule to break down into the soil for the grass to use. That means it needs to be watered in. It needs to be
break down. Why do we keep saying granules break down in the soil? The only granule that breaks down in the soil is either an organic fertilizer, or they're going to be insoluble sources like organic fertilizer or fucking methylene urea or IBDU. They're not breaking down in the soil. They're dissolving when you apply water to it. Plants do not eat solids. Will you show me a plant that has a mouth that starts chomping on things aside from a Venus flytrap? So I can stop going on these rampages about it. I am so sick and tired of hearing, like Silver Symbol said, if you dethatch it, the fertilizer gets closer to the soil where it has to be in order to work. You want those granules to get into the soil. No, you want them to fucking dissolve. Plants take up liquids. When you water in a granular fertilizer, it dissolves in water. And then what do plants do? They drink fucking water. And if you have a nitrogenous solution, it will take up the fucking nitrogen that's dissolved in the water, or the potassium that's dissolved in the water, or the iron that's dissolved in the water. It's not a fucking factor of them eating solids. Can we stop this? It's madness.
Matt, can I ask you a question? On that same grass that doesn't break down the granules, is it safe to use pesticides and herbicides on those?
Ray, I called you Ray. You got me so good, I called you Ray.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Play the video.
Eventually, your grass can finally take that up, which could take days to weeks. The second negative when it comes to granular is that you're
days
not going
to
get even coverage like you would
up.
With liquid. As those granules come out of your spreader, they're going to be bouncing around all over the place. And
Ray, can you just real quickly
bouncing around.
Recap what Dr. Shattuck and what the literature says about the use of granular iron?
Quite simply, is that most soils, or soils where you need iron, which are likely going to be high pH, the moment you apply these solid or granular forms of iron to that soil, that soil is immediately going to turn that iron into insoluble iron oxides. It's going to oxidize that iron and make it non-available to the plant. And
you mean,
this is
you
deceptive.
Mean, Ray, when you have a soil that's nice and aerified, remember we hear all these people talking about we need oxygen to get into our soils, and we hear that a lot, right? We need a lot of oxygen in our soils.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that when you apply an iron to a soil and it's met with all this oxygen-rich soil, that all of a sudden you've rendered it insoluble?
Yup. So
it's a self-defeating purpose to have this oxygen-rich soil and then apply iron to it? Amazing!
Yeah, because don't you know, Matt, that actually availability increases when soils are anaerobic, because the oxidized iron then reduces via a redox reaction. So
actually, by the conditions for causing iron to oxidize include alkaline soils and oil, and soils with high oxygen content. And that is proven. That's simple, you know,
that's
chemistry
crazy.
Right there.
Wow. I've got this nice, healthy, rich soil, and it doesn't respond to any form of granular iron I apply to it. I wonder why.
JPEG, yeah, go because, to 347. Go ahead. Keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. It's because, it defies science.
All right. So Homeboy now has a bag of citric acid and some 600. You might need a backup. Go to 330.
He's going to acidify his fucking feature?
Back to where he... Okay, here we go.
Do that? You just use regular citric acid that you get from the grocery store. I bought this on Amazon. It's super cheap, and this stuff goes a long way. You're going to want your pH below 5. Right now, mine's hovering around 9. You can use this simple pH tester that you can get off Amazon, put it in your water, and it'll tell you exactly what it is. Now, to get us where we need to be, we're going to use 0.1 ounces of citric acid per gallon, which is going to cover 1,000 square feet, and that's going to get us below our pH of 5.
Why are you taking it below 5? Where did that come from?
We're going to be using 1.5 ounces per 1,000 square feet.
Why is he taking it below 5? You're using an EDDHA chelate.
If you want to add other foliar applications.
Do you even know what the limitations of it are? You've got all this fucking monumental advice that you're sharing to the world for the darkest grass, period. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you think you need your water pH below a 5?
Wait, because by the way,
what is going on right now?
No, why does he even need to do that, Matt? Because my understanding of the feature formulation is not only do they include EDDHA chelates, Matt, did you know that they also include citrate salts?
Citrate. Amazing. Yeah. Why would they do that, Ray?
It is to ensure that your solution, no matter what your water condition is going to be appropriate for uptake of the iron that you're applying. I mean, those guys at Loveland Products are not fucking idiots. They know what the hell they were doing. Okay? Because, Matt, can you tell... No, Ryan, can you tell me what Gulf Super would... meticulously buffer his water pH below 5 because he's going to apply feature to his greens? What Gulf Super would do that?
There might be some, but I think the whole point was to have that product be plug and play, right? That was the point.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the whole point, is that you can give that product to somebody like me where I've got shit to do, and so I don't have time to be titrating my water pH. This is just a drop and go. You know?
All right. Let's play this here for another minute. We'll watch him mix up here and spray.
Like PGR or urea, you definitely can do that. Just make sure you do not add more than 0.2 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet.
I don't know. At least, please God, and I'm not going to roast you for this, but at least take the fucking label off, man. Take the label off.
Good.
Hopefully you don't have kids. If you do, let it be a learning lesson. Take the label off. Put a skull and crossbones, something on it as a deterrent. Even though it doesn't require skull and crossbones, just don't use a water bottle, period. Do not use a water bottle. Find a separate container. Don't do that. Please, God, don't do that.
Don't do that, because I'm already getting like anxiety at the fact that he has something other than water in that water bottle, because he himself is enough of a dumbass to one day pick that up and think, oh, this is a drink, and start drinking from it. And you know what? Based on everything he's said so far, I don't put it above him to not do something that stupid.
Look, Long Live, I want to make this very clear right here. I am the same idiot that has picked up beers that had cigarettes put out in them and drank it. I've picked up dip spitters. I've picked up dip spitters and taken sips out of them. It happens, man. I'm telling you, Don't do that. Get rid of the pesticides in the pesticides in the water bottle.
Yes, right, please.
Good Lord.
Now make sure you have a strainer on your sprayer because there are some artifacts in here.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Respirator on? Okay. So he applies the feature. All right. So at the time that this video was made, you know, there are other competing products. Can we real quickly talk about why feature in is sort of been at the top of our list for a long time. And I know Matt has worked on some other products, but why feature has been this effective for, I mean, gosh, I've been using it for 15 or so years now, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably even a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. So care to expound on what makes feature unique?
It's the EDDHA chelate, right? It is the strongest, one of the strongest chelates we have right now, is but the strongest that is going to be plant tolerant, plant safe, right? And so it gives you flexibility to apply to soil pHs up to a 9. And that basically is going to cover just about the majority of the extremes that you're going to face when you need to apply an iron. That's the magic behind it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
And
so, go ahead, Ray.
And this is why. The other point about feature is that it is designed to be effective under various water conditions. Whatever water an applicator might draw to formulate his tank mix, the feature is probably going to work in it because, Matt, you notice what the first ingredient is in feature.
Ammonium sulfate.
Yep. And what does ammonium sulfate do when you dissolve it in water? What does ammonium sulfate do?
Calcium.
It takes calcium out of solution, and while taking the calcium out of solution, it will also buffer water pH down to 5.5.
Yep.
That's what ammonium sulfate is good for. And other thing to make note of is, in addition to the EDHA, iron, we also have iron citrate and manganese citrate, which also will buffer water pH. So, as I said, these guys at Loveland knew what the heck they were doing when they formulated this stuff.
It's interesting. So, all right. So, we got a really good product here. In the original video it was put out, it was linked to a website called www.iwantfeature.com.
Mm-hmm.
And great website, very simple. You know, they sell one product alone. They sell feature. And if you want it, they have it. All you have to do is go to www.iwantfeature.com and they will send it to your door. You don't even have to put pants on, even if it's illegal in your local jurisdiction to have to put pants on to go outside. Jesse Bousquet will get you out of that. He's willing.
Sounds really complex. No, it doesn't.
So,
very easy.
Here's the interesting part. That video was up, and Jay Pink, go back to that video from Lawn Life. How many views has that had?
612,000.
612,000 was put out about a year ago. Okay, so J-Pink, go ahead and cut over to that screen grab that I sent you, and let's take a look at this and see. All right, so this is Lawn Life
God.
Reaching out to the folks at I Want Feature. Okay. And they asked us about this. This is Lawn Life speaking in a DM. Hey, man, do you have any interest in drop shipping for me if I sold your product on my site? Question mark. The I Want feature folks say, at this time, I'm keeping all sales from one source as it's just me who does all the packaging and shipping. Commendable, and you know that's realistic. All right, Lawn Life replies, okay, if that's the case, then I'm going to have to take down all of the links to my videos with you as a source and find a different iron source. I'm not being compensated at all for the millions of views I'm getting recommending feature as a product. Now, ladies and gentlemen,
this is
strong-arming. You want to believe that everybody on YouTube has your best interests at heart, that they're just folksy, down-to-earth people that just want to, you know, help you grow the best grass in the world. And the fact of the matter is that I think that very few of them give a fuck. The only people that I would say that give a fuck, we're honest about how we try to shake you down. We just advertise on Patreon, and then we go spend all the money and have a big blowout party in Louisville every year. I mean, it's pretty fucking simple.
We like to drink.
It should just be, I want TajandSpinellis.com should be our website. It would just be so much simpler, because that's the God's honest truth, is we just want to go sing karaoke until 4 o'clock in the morning and go get pizza. Okay, now. This is interesting on Lawn Life's part, because he says he gets millions of views, and I think there's another video that's linked to it. So here is a small business owner, right, and the person that liked this product so much that they said, hey, you know what, I'm willing to drop ship that for people off my own site, and it's okay, right? The fact that homeboy here, you know, hey, you can call it capitalistic, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but to shake somebody down and say, hey, I need 10% just because I found your product worked, and it gave me the darkest green grass, right? And I'm going to find another source that I can collect 10% on. Oh, by the way, the price for said product elsewhere is anywhere from about, 20 to 25% higher, right, at other vendors. And that's what apparently that's what he's doing. So we went back to this video, and he actually pinned a link to a Amazon link. So he's going to get a cut on his share sale or whatever the hell he uses and goes that way. So. Just
7%, 8%.
Sure. Go ahead, Ray.
Okay. I need to point something out to everybody in that the distributors of Loveland products, they don't sell their products to any old Tom, Dick, and Harry. Please understand
that. That's probably why he went to him and asked if he would drop ship for him.
Yeah.
Because he can't buy it.
Because he can't buy it. Because I also know some inside baseball where the only reason why Loveland Products is even dealing with I Want feature is because Loveland Products decided that I Want feature was a credible person to deal with. Because if not, you know, if any old homeowner or consumer wants to buy Loveland Products, the answer is, oof. No, go to Home Depot, or in the case of the Hawaii.
More.
Yeah, or in the case of the Hawaii, you know, Loveland distributor, you know what their answer is to people that want to buy products? They tell people, give this one applicator a call, and he can probably help you out. Otherwise, we don't sell to consumers at all.
Look, if anyone who's has any experience in business whatsoever, right? And you reach out and they're like, hey, I'm a one man operation trying to do this. It just doesn't make sense to me right now. If you had any modicum of business sense, integrity, ethics, moral compass, you would say, how can I help?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That is I like hearing that, because that means I get to help. And typically, if there's somewhere that I can apply some sweat equity, there's a way that both of us can win, right? And like, this is a mutually beneficial deal. These are good deals. These are the kind of deals I like to do. And all it takes is totally understand, how can I help? I would like to make this a reality. How can I help? But instead,
He's like, oh, well, then you're going to have to suck my left and right ball. In GFY.
Let's not assume that both are there.
No, that's true. He may be one without testicles altogether. You know, I'm assuming gender. I have fucked this whole thing up. Let's be honest. I have a feature. I don't know where to go anymore. I am so lost in the PC wormhole right now. I just...
Well, no. So here's the bottom line, gentlemen, is that, as you said, there's a way to...
Might as well sell Bibles.
There's a way to help one another out, right? The fact that he's able to mention that product and able to get it right is a credit to the I Want feature folks. And I just looked it up. It's actually way higher. If I do the math, it's almost $10 a bag difference, right?
It's 33% more.
It's, yeah. Yep.
33% more. And, more inside baseball.
38.5%.
Yeah, okay, more inside baseball. You know, this feature sale? What if I told you it all goes back to I Want Feature?
Yeah, if you're willing to jump on the Bezos train here.
Yeah, I mean,
$3 every purchase goes to support Big Booty Latinas.
Yep, but the sale of that bag of feature on Amazon is the sale all goes back to I Want Feature. Congratulations.
Good job, sir.
I think the moral of the story here, gentlemen, is that do not let capitalism and the almighty dollar get in the way of recommending good agronomy, and don't let the best price fool you, because everybody has an ulterior motive. It just so happens we put ours out in the open. A lot of other folks apparently don't have to do it behind DMs and trying to threaten people and coerce them into doing something they don't want to do. So
that,
remember
that
when you're watching
the most
heroes.
Important is do not be a piece of shit and do understand that the majority of people that are going to approach you with something are pieces of shit. Okay. So, you know, You have to have your head on a swivel, and I hate to say it, it's just the fact of the matter. And you know, there's a lot of different things that you hear, like, you know, don't meet your heroes, all kinds of this other stuff. I promise you, one of the worst people that you can come across, it's going to be one of two ways, right? And I'll give you an example. Like, I can have conversations. I'll give you two people that I have just great offline relationships with, because they are great people online and offline. And I'll say one is Pete with GCI Turf, and number two is Ryan Knorr. Those people offline, I mean, it's like online is exactly how they are offline. There's no fucking 100%. Difference whatsoever. You never have to guess. You never have to worry about anything. They are who they are, and that is through and through. Versus, I'm not going to lie, I am thoroughly shocked at Lawn Life here. Thoroughly shocked at Lawn Life. And I got a little bit more inside baseball and Silver Symbol, and I'm not going to talk about it right now. I will save that for the paid members and all that. But I promise you, who they are online is clearly not who they are offline. You give someone a little bit of a view count ego behind them, and boy, oh boy, do they turn into assholes. So that's not even being an asshole. That's not being an asshole at all. It's called being a fucking scumbag. We're assholes. We're not scumbags. All right, let's fly through this. We're going to check
out
this week's burns. Thanks, Joe. Fire! That was Sheila reacting to this next article here. Drexel University, which is the name Drexel to begin with, is just funny to hear this, is phasing out herbicides, pesticides on campus grounds. Demay, did you choose this one on purpose because of that?
I didn't actually. This is Jay Pink that put this one on, but
boy, that
I did tease it. I teased it.
Get fucked.
Jay Pink with the clutch sounder there. Number one is Drexel is a pesticide manufacturer's pesticide brand. And then we're dealing with Drexel University and they're phasing out pesticides. It's just funny to see it. They don't know that pesticides are all inclusive of herbicides. Drexel University's groundkeepers will replace synthetic chemicals with an organic turf program that includes organic fertilizer, overseeding, and aeration. The decision comes after a group of agronomic students, horticultural students, plant science students, weed science students.
Nope. Oh. Nope.
Oh,
Matt.
Boy. The decision was. Go ahead.
Odds are is that those students were all the political science and anthropology department and probably women's studies department. Those students made that decision.
I would okay? say I mean, that's, you're probably right.
Oh, Lord. Good God. I mean, let's see. That picture alone, Matt, confirms what I suspected, okay? And
so I can tell you one of them is a biological sciences major who is the student environmental justice coordinator.
Okay, and I'm going to be even worse in that
environmental the two gentlemen justice.
And the two gentlemen are probably women's studies majors. Ah!
Boy, I had some jokes I wanted to go with there. I am not going to do it, though. landscapers say organic fertilizer doesn't directly eliminate weeds, but it helps with turf health. The healthier the grass, the more likely it can keep weeds out. Yeah, that's for sure. Tony Gale says he feels more comfortable, who is the director for grounds at Drexel University, he feels more comfortable using the safer alternatives in such a populated area. We used to use herbicides early on Saturday mornings. It was very quiet around here. But still, you get the early jogger and early dog walker. There's always people out. So I'm just happy to avoid that. I don't not have to get anyone sick or have anyone's pet injured. Anyway, this is lame as hell. What were you going to say, DeMay?
I wasn't going to say anything. I'd love to go back and visit this in, 3 months or so, 4 months, middle of Philly summer.
See what happens because
they won't update us.
Here's what happens is that
I'll fly to Philly just for fun.
Okay, fly to Philly and take close up pictures because here's my over under on this. All of this organically maintained turf areas, they're going to turn into forests of dandelions and crabgrass.
There was another line in here that I missed. 16 tons of toxic herbicides. Toxic by what? Are they just saying all herbicides are toxic, or are they actually using the toxic category? We're spraying in Philadelphia in 2022 alone, according to Toxic Free Philly. Researchers say every person in the U.S. has some level of pesticides in their blood or urine. Herbicides also disproportionately sprayed in communities of color and low-income neighborhoods, according to the Black Institute. Let's see how many Black people were involved in getting this passed real quick. We'll take a look at the four environmental justice people here, and we have none. Okay, cool. Glad we got that figured out. Go ahead.
I got to ask you, all right, how many highly maintained turf areas are in low-income neighborhoods? How many?
Well, it depends on where you are. I'll say like in Orange Mound, Memphis, Orange Mound there's a lot of lawn care in Orange Mound. Let me tell you, I sold a shit ton of lawn care in Orange Mound.
Okay, but in what these people are talking about are these...
Let me tell you, the grandmothers there were holy shit particular about their lawns. And they would cuss me up and down. They would those grandmothers, they would give me shallots and onions when I visited, and then they would threaten to beat the shit out of me if I ever ruined anything in their yard in the same visit, and I knew they were telling the truth every time.
Oh, gosh. But then tell me now, what is the possibility of high pesticide use in an urban area that is predominantly low-income housing? What are the odds of that, Matt?
I'm sure the students of environmental justice have that all figured out, Ray. Right? They keep
because
they
otherwise
keep a pulse on the black community real well.
Otherwise, this sounds to me like a whole bunch of bull. Okay, this sounds like a whole bunch of bull crap because I keep on hearing about how pesticides are somehow a racial and economic inequity type issue where I know fudge well that most of the pesticides I see being used are in these multi-million dollar properties where I do not want to see a single nutsedge in this lawn. You understand? I mean, that's that.
Boy, let me tell you, in the show title thread on the Discord, boy, there is some really funny stuff going on there I can't talk about on here. But today, I'll just say this, and we'll end it with this, that today I learned that that pesticides are racist. So next time you make your pesticide application, wear a kente cloth, go on one knee, and bow your head because you're participating in it. Orange County residents say weed-killing chemical spray near homes is making them sick. Residents in Aliso Viejo are speaking out against local officials saying that herbicides are being sprayed in their neighborhoods are making them sick. They've been complaining about the chemicals for months. However, the community association said there's nothing to worry about, said the chemicals have caused her to suffer a variety of symptoms. I have headaches, rashes on my face and arms, and chronic fatigue. It sounds like COVID. The group is greatly concerned about the chemicals' lasting health effects on locals. The herbicide called Cheetah Pro was recently sprayed at Canyon Valley Park, which is located by, maybe it was. Cheetah Pro, which contains glufosinate, safer than glyphosate, right? Carries health warnings similar to Roundup, a glyphosate-based herbicide at the center of more than 100,000 lawsuits nationwide, resulting in at least $11 billion of payouts to cancer patients. I actually had a toxins test, and it was very clear the herbicides were extremely high in my system and causing my illness. Do what? She had a concentration of glyphosate, not glufosinate, glyphosate in her urine that was 18 times greater than 95% of women her age. The Association of Landscape maintains hundreds of acres of public parks and green spaces in the city where Cheetah Pro is likely used. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Matt, I know a likely source of glyphosate in these kind of people. And you know what that source is? All of their vegan food, okay? That's where the glyphosate is coming from. Okay? It ain't coming from what is being sprayed. Because, by the way, do you know what would happen if glyphosate were applied in a manner where people were going to be exposed to it? Do you know what would happen? Every bit of plant life downwind of that application would be fucked. Because glyphosate is a non-selective herbicide. So
as with glufosinate, if you're inhaling that much glufosinate, everything in its path
you're
is
applying
also going to be dead. Yeah.
It's going to be fucked too because glufosinate is similarly, no, glufosinate is a little bit worse because glufosinate is more like a contact herbicide in that everything it touches is brown.
But the funny thing here is that the lady is saying that the glufosinate they are spraying is what has caused all these problems with her. She has a toxicology test done, and her system is high in glyphosate, not glufosinate. And so she goes to the community association and is like, see, the Cheetah Pro you're spraying is killing me. Look at the glyphosate in my system. Ma'am, this is a Wendy's. We're spraying glufosinate. It sounds like glyphosate, but it's not. It's glufosinate.
It's glufosinate, and as I said, Matt, the only source that I can think of for that much glyphosate in a human is vegan foods, okay? That's my only likely source, because...
Children,
you know what
cover
happens?
Your ears real quick. Eat less vegetables, eat more pussy.
Eat more tacos. There, I said it.
Let's check out this week's returns.
La 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 la
I am back. I almost said I am black. I'm actually not. I'm one third. So that's enough.
Because all those pesticides you sprayed.
That's exactly what it was. We do have bad news. Joe Vargas has passed away. And those of you who don't know, he was an academic at Michigan State University, a 50-year career in turf grass. And I don't think there's too many people that have not come across him in some form or fashion. He was known as, you know, sometimes dressing up as Elvis, one of the people who's not just a character. He was a characterization of good that comes from this industry. And, so it is an absolute shame, that he is going. DeMay, I know Michigan and Ohio are a lot closer together than Tennessee and Ohio, Tennessee and Michigan. Do you have any memorable interactions with Joe Vargas? I do not, and that's the only reason I asked.
Yeah, he'd come to our show several times. In fact, just this past year, 2023, prior to his retirement. So he just retired here, not more than a couple months ago, about January, February time, he officially retired. So he was there at our show. I actually went up to the Michigan show this past January, and it was kind of a big farewell for him, kind of mm-hmm. leaving the faculty and everything like that. But you know, very much kind of his own person, his own scientist, where he challenged a lot of the things. I mean, one of the things, and I'd encourage anybody that has any interest in turf pathology, right, to go back and listen to some of the podcasts and some of the things he's been on. But, you know, at the time, the thing that people pushed back on a lot about 40, 50 years ago was spraying fungicides on turf grass, right? Specifically, you know, labeled fungicides and not like, you know, cadmium or arsenic or something like that, Ray. And everybody said, no, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. And sure enough, you know, he proved himself right. So a lot of that mm-hmm. and just a great human being. Like you were talking about before, you know, he would cut it, Matt, he would shoot you straight in the interactions I had with him. He wouldn't bullshit, wouldn't cut, you know, catch you up on anything. He would just be real. And he would always have your back. He would say, hey, listen, I'll help you any way I can, right? And kind of do that. So from my perspective, a great, great human being, a great turf grass pathologist, a great advocate for turf grass, and very sad day that we lost him. So rest in peace, Joe.
Rest in peace, Joe, for sure. Turf grass nutrient management. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Ray. Debunking some common myths. Myth number one, phosphorus. I need to add phosphorus anytime I'm establishing turf grass via seed, sod, or sprigs. I think we've covered enough of that. That is.
Look who wrote this.
Holy shit. This is John Emerson, who we had on.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, yeah, John Emerson. Fuck yeah. Everyone go follow him. UD Turf, what is it? UD Turf Man, UD Turf Guy. On Twitter, which one is
Turf Guy? You Turf Guy.
UD Turf Guy. UD Turf, UD Turf Guy on Twitter. I saw he was actually at a one of those meetup events the other day, and was taking questions from the general public, and he had one of those UD co-op extension signs that said, "Ask me anything about turf grass," which I thought was great. That's always a fun thing, right? And these actually are good. I highly recommend you go and read them. Adding potassium in the fall will increase rooting and winter hardiness of turf grass. I need to apply calcium because my soil test said I was low. I need to add lime every year. And spring fertilizer is necessary. I need to apply sulfur as a standalone fertilizer for my turf. These are actually all good. That kind of made me laugh out loud because the number of times I have been told I got low calcium on my soil test at 1,100 parts per million. How do I get more calcium down? I'm like, you, sir, need a lobotomy, not more calcium.
Where's the turf mechanic out there with cow's milk? So, well, guys,
wait a minute. Or what about
what?
These people with low calcium, actual low calcium, and their soil pH is low, and they refuse to lime? Make that one make sense, Matt. Make that one make sense. Instead, they want you to buy this foliar calcium supplement.
As long as I'm getting my 10% cut, care what you apply.
Yeah, I mean,
all right, listen.
Yeah, that's
I've got to get, listen there, I've got to get going here. I've got to get to the gas station, but boys, listen, between Iran and the trial, gas might be out by tomorrow, okay? Love y'all. Bye.
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 Love you, 76 man.
We were talking.